Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Ro. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Ro, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to ro.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to ro.co/safety.
What is good, everybody? Welcome to another Gold Standard podcast. I'm Rob Stats Guerrera, pinch hitting for Jason Aponte alongside Steph Sanchez. It is August 4th. Steph, we are in full swing of training camp and full swing of 49ers injuries.
Oh, man. Well, I'm excited for the season to start. I'm going to pretend you didn't say that last part about the injuries while I get some excitement off that we're that much closer to the start of the season. Fantasy football discussions are underway. Let's freaking go. We're talking about real football again, which, you know, to your point, Rob, means we're talking about 49ers injuries again. So that part I'm not so excited for, but, you know, it's worth discussing here today.
We have a football game on Thursday night, Steph, 8 p.m., the Hall of Fame game. Carson Beck's going to be starting for your Arizona Cardinals. It's actual real football.
And you know what? I'm going to watch because I'm a sicko like that. And it's all we have right now. So whichever two quarterbacks they want to have out there, I will be watching. I will be eating it up. So football is so back. I'm excited.
Yes, and we will get to the 49ers injury stuff in a minute, but the Mike Sando quarterback article, The Tears, came out today. It's the yearly article that he has been doing. I was one of my favorites of the offseason, and I'm just trying to get the actual methodology because he does a pretty good job. It's like a pretty wide swath of people. He talks to 5 assistant general managers, 8 general managers, 5 former general managers, and 3 other executives, plus 9 head coaches, 10 defensive coordinators, 5 offensive coordinators, 2 offensive assistants, 1 defensive assistant, and 2 coaches specializing in analytics / game management, which, if you're keeping track, and I know you are, 21 executives and 29 coaches overall. I was not consulted, but I guess I was just an oversight this year.
As you often are.
Yeah, thanks. Particularly on this program. But as we scroll down, we get to Brock Purdy. He is not tier one, which I think most 49er fans would not put him in tier one. He is in tier two at number 11. Steph, did you have a problem with that?
No problem. I like it. I think it's fair. I think when you look at tier one, if you do have any issues with it, you might see Joe Burrow there and think to yourself, well, how is he still getting this praise? How is he still being looked at this as this elite quarterback when he's missed so much time? I'm just wondering, like, how far that's going to go. Like, the success that he has had, like, seems to be carrying him far further than it should. And so that's the only thing I really had an issue with, but that's not directly related to Purdy. I do like where he's at. It seems like last year he had the 14 ranking. So while he was still in tier two, he got ranked a little bit higher just as an aggregate of all the votes. And I think it's fitting. I think it's about where I would put him. I think it's where most of us would put him. And I would call this in Brock Purdy slightly higher than average, right?
I liked some of the quotes that were tied to Brock Purdy. You see one on the screen now if you're watching on YouTube. Stronger than you think, faster than you think, better than you think. I think that is such a succinct and perfect way to describe Brock Purdy. I think that's perfect because that's exactly what he is. Because sure, there are a lot of people that look at him and see what he wears on the way into games and don't think much of him, but he doesn't play on the field the way you think a guy that looks and talks like him plays on the field.
Yeah, just some of the words that came out in some of those quotes, there's kind of a theme in them, right? Impressive in how he creates, deceptively athletic, deceptive strength, right? So yes, there's more to meets the eye with Brock Purdy. We all know that. We just know for maybe some coaches that haven't played against him before, some of them find out the hard way, right? When they step on the field with him, some players have the same experience. So I think that's just kind of the theme. There's some preconceived notions about Purdy and who he is based on where he was drafted, based on, you know, the system that he's in, Kyle Shanahan, oh, he gets carried. Like, we've heard all of the narratives, right? I just think it's clear, and I think there's metrics that would suggest this, that Brock Purdy is better than, you know, the system, and he does more than what the system does for him as well.
I think it's clear. I think last season was a great example. I mean, he's out there with Malik Turner and Kendrick Bourne, and it's like he's still dicing people up. The offense didn't punt for an entire month of the season. That was a real thing that happened. You texted me something before the show today, and I thought it was an interesting question because you used a very specific phrase when you were talking about Brock. Do you remember what it was?
I think I said that he carries, he's able to carry the team, and he's able to make his supporting cast, he's able to lift them up, which is something that a lot of people look for when they talk about elite or above average quarterbacks. Is this a quarterback who can elevate their receiving group? And I do, is that what you're talking about, Rob? Because I think that's kind of the thing that sticks out to me for Brock Purdy and what he has evolved to. He wasn't always that. Either he wasn't always that, or we weren't sure he was always that, because in 2023, when he came onto the scene and became a starting quarterback, he kind of took the league by storm. And a lot of it, you could make the argument, because again, we didn't see him outside of his supporting cast, outside of you know, Kyle Shanahan being his offensive play caller. You saw that he was able to do a lot with the supporting cast that he had, and it was a really good one in 2023. So I think then we kind of listened to the arguments of, okay, fine, maybe, just maybe, he's a product of that. But then you get into 2024, and even more, I'd say, in 2025, that I think Brock Purdy has shown now in a couple of seasons that he's evolved into someone who can elevate his offense, elevate the receiving group, regardless of who's there. And it's not even just the receiving group. Sometimes it's been the offensive line that has dealt with injuries. Let's look back at 2024. Christian McCaffrey, as we know, missed significant time. Brandon Ayuk with his season-ending injury. Mm-hmm. Deebo Samuel missed some games. Trent Williams missed time. Multiple offensive line combinations that season. The run game wasn't as efficient as it had been the year prior. But Brock Purdy still had little over 3,800 yards, passing yards in just 15 games, eight and a half yards per attempt, which is a pretty elite number, 56 completions of 20 or more yards that season, 20 passing touchdowns. And I think another element that he was able to add that season that we saw was the rushing ability. And that's something that, you know, goes beyond what the system and what his supporting cast is going to be able to give him, right? He's creating for himself with his legs, 323 rushing yards that season, with five rushing touchdowns. And then another statistic that I think tries to give context to some of the supporting casts and try to separate the quarterback from the system is CPOE, so completion percentage over expected. In the 2024 season, through the middle of it, he had a plus 2.5 percentage for for CPOE. So I think, again, that just speaks to his ability to create and not just be a beneficiary of his system. And then again, you look at 2025, and it was kind of a similar story. While he didn't play that full season, and as he was dealing with the turf toe and some of those injuries and the effects of it, once he got into a groove, you know, the second half of the season, he really looked like a strong, really strong version of himself. One that I think showed a lot of growth from the year prior, even. So 2025, last year, 0.19 EPA per drop back from the pocket, 52.6 success rate, and that completion percentage over expected was at plus 3.2%. And again, that matters because EPA and CPOE, again, attempt to isolate quarterback performance rather than, you know, simply looking at yards and things like that. So again, I think just Brock Purdy has shown that, yes, he does benefit from good players, but he could still be successful even with Juwan Jennings being a wide receiver one. Let's not forget that, that last season you didn't have Brandon Ayuk, you know, you no longer had Deebo Samuel, and you were able to produce and put up good numbers, win football games. When you don't have that same supporting cast that you had in 2023 that everyone tried to discount you for. So I think that's what in the last couple seasons Brock Purdy has proven. And I think he'll continue to do that because, unfortunately, Rob, I do think injuries are going to continue to be a thing for this team, continue to be a thing for this receiving group. But I do have a lot of trust and faith that Brock Purdy is the type of quarterback who, regardless of who's out there, he's going to be able to do something with it.
Yeah, the phrase you used in the text to me was a receiver-proof quarterback. And if there was ever a season where he was going to prove it, it was last year. After he came back from injury, 46% of Brock's passes last year went for either a first down or a touchdown. Again, with no wide receivers, and he completed 61% of his throws 10 or more yards downfield. He was spinning it. And I think some people are starting to recognize that, at least some of the coaches and the coordinators around the league, I think, are starting to see, like, damn, it's not just Kyle dialing it up. It's also Brock making plays on his own. Not to mention they've started doing some of the option stuff and using his legs more. The way he escaped pressure last year, nobody was better at taking pressure and not getting sacked than Brock Purdy. I think it was 9% pressure to sack rate for Brock. That was the best in the league. The man can play flat out, and it was nice to see him get a little bit of respect from at least the Sando people that he talked to, because some of the other rankings out there, like the Chris Sims ranking and others, had him like 16th or 17th. And I was just like, I don't know how that could be possible.
More 49ers Gold Standard podcast after this.
This summer, I'm shopping the small space solutions that America waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has everything from retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, party-ready dining sets in four fun colors, stylish and space-conscious Bobopedic sofas to feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back all summer long. So, when you're ready to snag latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Like, I tend to put a little more credence into some of these rankings that actually do ask people in the NFL, executive players, not to say that those are always going to be the best, but I do think they have knowledge and they have context that maybe, you know, others simply wouldn't have. So it is nice to see what some of these people have to say about Brock Purdy. And I just think from year over year, he's getting a little more respect than the year prior, just with larger sample sizes that we have with him now in different situations, in different contexts. So, yeah, 11 is a great spot for Brock. I'd be happy with that.
Stronger than you think, faster than you think, better than you think. Yes, more of that, please. I think that totally fits Brock Purdy. Speaking of, I was going through some photos of training camp, Steph, and I came across this one. It's a photo of Brock Purdy. He's throwing the ball. And in the background of said photo, probably half of the photo, is the electrical substation. It is there. It is massive. And it has become a thing again. As the list of 49ers injuries has piled up here, at one point they had 13 people that were out of practice with two padded practices in the books already. And now, I was talking to Vish about this last night, I feel like it's become a national thing. Like, nationally, they're paying attention to the 49ers injuries, whereas, like, last year, it was just us, right? We were talking about it because it affected the 49ers so much. And now I feel like there is a bigger focus, like a bigger microscope on it. McAfee was talking about it on his show today.
It's been a thing, Rob. I mean, even last year, nationally, it was being talked about, and it was kind of like the 49ers were the butt of the joke and with the substation. And now it's like it's become a bit, like everyone is just in on it. And what's even I don't want to say funnier, but like it looks larger than it has before, because it used to be covered up by trees, the trees that apparently died as a result of the substation, maybe. You know, that's the speculation, right? That they died and they had to be cut down. So now the substation looks like this menacing presence over the 49ers practice facility. Rob, we were talking about it right before we went live here. It's like the Stranger Things mind flayer. That's what it looks like, just hovering over impending doom on the 49ers. But look, it's going to continue to be a thing as long as the injuries exist. And so far, Rob, the start of this year's training camp feels a lot like last year's, where the 49ers just continue to rack up the injuries. And yeah, unfortunately, it's going to continue to be a thing, even though they did their own independent study saying, you know, it's not the reason for the injuries. I don't know if it is, but like it can't be a bad thing to move away from it. I'll just say that at this point, because at this point, whether it's true or not, that it is contributing to the injuries, it is becoming a PR nightmare for the 49ers. And knowing the 49ers, I don't think they love that. And with the reports that came out this offseason that they're planning to move away from this practice facility, I don't think that's a coincidence, Rob. I do think that, yes, space is a factor, as has been. It's a pretty small practice facility for them. But I do also think this substation and all the talk surrounding it, unfortunately, has played a role and has motivated the 49ers to look elsewhere.
Niners Faithful 8080 says, other teams have injuries too, more severe than the 49ers. Yes, other teams have injuries too. No one is saying that other teams don't have injuries. But the 49ers, this isn't a one-year problem or a two-year problem or a five-year problem or an eight-year problem. It goes back even before Kyle Shanahan became the head coach a decade ago. That's why it's more of a thing with the 49ers, is because it has been a consistent problem since 2013. They're in the top 10 most injured teams every single season except for one. That's why the 49er thing is getting more attention. And I mean, literally, I feel like in the past 3 years, Steph, since 2023 at least, they can't hold a single practice without losing somebody. There has never been a practice that I can remember where everybody that started the practice finished the practice.
I don't know if it, like, is that for real, Rob? Like,
I mean, I don't know it for a fact, but remember. It sure feels that way right
it
now.
It does feel that way. You get like two players coming back from injury, multi-day absence, and you hear about five other guys that didn't finish, right? Like that's what it felt like last year as well. And again, I'm not here to say that I believe the substation is an actual thing. I'm just saying that the talk of it is not going to go away as long as injuries exist. And unfortunately for the 49ers, a lot of them still do. So that's all we're saying. And I think for the 49ers, the only solution here is for them to just move away, to just get away from the PR nightmare of it all. And hey, if you just so happen to get healthier because of that, Rob, can you imagine the the reaction from everyone if that just coincidentally ends up being the case.
I mean, what I would like to see is them fire the training staff and bring in a whole new training staff. That's what I would like to see. Before, forget moving away from the substation. I'm not on the substation. To me,
let's
that's not
both.
A thing. But I'm fine with both, too. And look, I don't care if they move the practice field. It's not my money. Go ahead, move the practice field. But to me, the more frustrating part is with the training staff. And Ricky Pearsall is a prime example of this. It's a PCL injury, right? This is not like the most mystifying, confusing injury of all time. It was a PCL injury. When he initially heard it, it was described as a minor knee issue. And now it's cost him 2 years, basically, and probably his 49ers career, because they're not going to pick up the fifth-year option, because that's going to be about $17 million, and they ain't paying Ricky Pearsall $17 million, nor should they, as much as I love the guy and am rooting for the guy. But that's it. I mean, his career is dangling by a thread. It's dangling by a PCL right now, Steph.
That situation is all very unfortunate. And I know a lot of people originally were asking, well, why didn't the 49ers just have him opt for the surgery sooner? There are risks to the surgery in itself. And I think the 49ers were hoping and waiting to see if they would even have to go that route. I mean, I think probably early in the offseason, maybe they felt okay, that maybe Ricky Pearsall felt okay with where he was at with it. Then you start getting into some more intense activity like training camp, and then you suddenly realize, oh, no, this is still an issue. So you got to go back to the drawing board. At least that's what it seemed like happened with the 49ers and the Ricky Pearsall PCL case. But, yeah, unfortunate all around, because you're really hoping to see Ricky Pearsall have some success this year, given that, you know, the 49ers thankfully didn't put all their eggs in his basket, and they brought in Mike Evans. Pearsall was going to be able to, you know, work as a wide receiver two in this offense, which I think would have worked well with his skill set and would have worked well and favorably in some of the matchups that he would have had. Like, I think it would have just been a good season for him if he were healthy. So it's really unfortunate that this is the way things have gone. And then also the implications of this going forward, both for Ricky Pearsall and the 49ers receiving group. It's just a huge bummer. Don't know what Ricky Pearsall is even going to look like after the surgery. Again, it doesn't seem like it's some perfect surgery that works every time. But yeah, and we'll talk about who the 49ers, you know, brought in, Deebo Samuel and that deal. But yeah, the 49ers need help in the injury department already. It seems Rob Stribling also missing some time right now. We got this super chat here from Being Suave. It's not the substation. It's the lack of training leading up to camp. They do not simulate the rigors at any point in the offseason, and they succumb.
I don't really know. What do you tell us what you mean by that? Because I don't quite know what you mean, and I don't want to dispute you or criticize you without fully understanding. I mean, they do OTAs. They, you know, as far as I know, it's not like they don't do anything drastically different from other teams. It just seems like, number one, they always have somebody get hurt in a practice. And then number two, what I worry about, Steph, is once a guy is injured, it never seems like they're injured. They come back and they're good. It's always they're injured. They come back for a game. Oh, they get hurt a game, or they're supposed to be back, but now they've had a setback and now they're hurt for longer. Like when the Rams get people hurt, they miss a game, two, whatever, and then they come back and they're good to go. No problems. Like, why can't we have that?
I think that right there is a great example and maybe supporting proof that the training staff bears some blame in the 49ers injury reputation and history in the last couple of years, because we do see that a lot. Guys not being able to come back either right away, they get a lot of setbacks, they come back into action and then get a setback, or we just their timeline for this injury ends up being longer than what originally was anticipated. Mm-hmm. There are so many examples of that a substation can't explain that. Like that is an issue with the training staff, with getting guys back. And it continues to be a theme. So yeah, 49ers need to figure something with that out.
More 49ers Gold Standard podcast after this.
I've always dreamed of being able to order my coffee in Italian like a local, instead of just pointing at the menu and hoping for the best. There's something about speaking another language with real confidence that opens up a whole new world of experiences. That's why I'm so excited about Rosetta Stone Sapphire. It's their biggest launch in over a decade. It takes that research-backed method we all know and trust and adds fresh, cutting-edge features that make it easier than ever to go from knowing a few phrases to speaking naturally about the topics you actually care about. What I love is that you aren't just memorizing vocabulary lists. You learn entirely in your new language through visuals and audio, just like you did as a kid. One of my favorite new features is chat missions. It turns conversation practice into a game, putting you in real-world scenarios, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions, and giving you missions to complete. You get real-time feedback along the way, so you build that confidence before you ever have to use your skills in the real world. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners of this podcast can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. This gets you access to Rosetta Stone Sapphire in 25 languages. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/rs10.
Okay, here's the rest of the, or a clarification. BN Suave says, people that train for endurance events train hard and simulate their event. The 49ers don't. They even canceled the week of minicamp. Rice, who was in excellent shape, never pulled a hamstring. Well, it's tough to compare people to Jerry Rice because the man was a freak of all freaks. He was having 1,000-yard seasons at like age 40. So that's a really tough comparison because you're comparing him to a guy that was just a physical freak. I mean, he tore his ACL and came back in the same season and caught a touchdown pass.
Years ago, before medical advancements.
Right. Before they were operating on him with a cheese grater and a pair of scissors, I think. So that's a tough comparison. And I don't know what the 49ers do. Look, there are certain restrictions on what you can and can't do, especially during OTAs and the different phases of it. So I'm sure the 49ers are as physical as they can be. Kyle Shanahan, despite how he dresses and how he looks, is an old school coach. He is not Kyle is an old school guy. He came up with Mike. He wants to be a physical team. So I don't think that's the issue, but I guess we can't rule anything out at this point because it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, the 49ers can't really overlook anything, right? For a team that has had this this thing be an issue for as many years as it has been, I think you got to look at everything and change one thing and see if it changes the outcome. I don't know if they're doing that, so... Larry Martin here, another super chat. Thank you. Says Alex Boone said they don't ramp up properly. No more two-a-days or getting the body ready for the rigors of a contact sport. I think it's twofold also, Rob, because the NFL seasons are longer. So you want to keep guys healthier longer and you want the tread on the tire, so to speak, to not wear so early in the season. So I think there's a balance of that as well. There was a point in time when we're talking about the Rice era and all that, like they didn't have to worry about, you know, as many games and as many weeks as these players do today. I do think that's partially a factor in all of this as well, that you try to balance ramping guys up without necessarily beating them down too early in the season. And I think that's a tough balance for some teams. I don't know if the 49ers have found the right balance for them. I would venture to say they haven't, because we do continue to see the injuries, right? So whether it is a matter of them ramping up, I do think, you know, them forgoing part of OTAs, that was an interesting choice to me, given this criticism, right? That they don't ramp up, right? They don't ramp up properly. So far, if that was a strategy that we're trying this year to avoid injuries, yeah, that didn't work. So let's try again next year, something else.
Now, look, Alex Boone can say what he wants, and obviously he knows more about what it takes to play in the NFL than I do, because he did it, and I certainly haven't. But I will say, no one can do two-a-days. It's not just that the 49ers are choosing not to do them. They're illegal. You can't do two-a-days. They changed it in the 2011 collective bargaining agreement. You can only have one padded practice per week, and there's restrictions on the number of hours you can be on the field in training camp. That is not just a 49er thing. That's an NFL thing. And you could say that it was better back in the day, and you may be right about that. But my point is, all the teams are under the same restrictions right now, and the 49ers seem to have injury problems worse than those other teams. That's where I think it's frustrating for a lot of 49er fans.
So I guess we know it's training camp. Every team deals with injuries. Some teams deal with more serious injuries. But for the 49ers, and again, it's been a multi-year theme, yes, is that it's the volume of injuries, and they haven't been able to get away from it.
It is maddening, and it will continue to be maddening. Now, hopefully, like, we don't know the extent of Stribling's injury. We don't know the extent of Mike Evans' quad injury. You know, Romello Hite didn't practice, and then he was back out there the next day practicing. CJ West missed the practice. He was back out there for their most recent practice yesterday. So, you know, it depends on the severity of these things, but when you've had the injury problems that the 49ers have had for as long as they have had them, we're all going to overreact when we see this giant list of names 2 days into padded practices.
And I think one thing, you know, Rob, we were kind of discussing before we went live here as well, is it's hard to know what's legit, something that we should worry about versus, well, the 49ers are just being cautious. They're keeping this guy out because he's got something very minor, but they're not trying to risk it getting worse. They're going to keep him out. We have history with injuries. Let's just play it safe because we're still in training camp. It's still early. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't know. I do remember last year the 49ers saying they were being cautious with guys, and you want to believe them, right? But, you know, to a certain degree, you also wonder how upfront they are about certain injuries. We've had that discussion here in the past as well. I'm not ready to panic yet because, again, I think it feels a lot like last year. But the problem with that, Rob, is that last year, those injuries did carry into the season as well. Not the exact same ones, but just like the volume of injuries and how many guys seem to be in and out of the lineup. That was an issue for the 49ers as it had been prior. So hard to say.
Very, very difficult at this point. But again, we still have a long way to go before the first game. So I'm trying to take deep breaths, but it is because we just spent all offseason dying for football again. And as soon as they started doing it, we got these injuries, and it kicks you right in the gut. But we will see how it turns out the rest of camp. We got plenty more to get to on today's show, including the structure of the Deebo Samuel contract. Plus, there's another question I'm going to spring on you, Steph, before we wrap up for the day.
More 49ers Gold Standard podcast after this.
The first few weeks back at school set the tone for the entire year. But with new teachers, schedules, and expectations, it can feel like a lot. If you're looking to help your child start strong and stay confident, I've been using IXL to make that transition so much easier. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, it adapts to each child's level and pace, making it easy to spot and close learning gaps in just a few minutes a day before those gaps can snowball. Plus, it's trusted nationwide. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL, and it's used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. It's an easy, cost-effective way to get kids back into a learning routine and walking into class feeling ready and reassured. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners can get an exclusive 20% off an IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Now, without further commercial interruption, the conclusion of this episode of the 49ers Gold Standard Podcast.
All right, Steph, let's talk about the old number 19, the return
old of ball and chain.
He's back. He's releasing a trailer all about his return to the 49ers on YouTube. Apparently, that's going to be a thing, which I'm sure Kyle Shanahan is just thrilled about. What was your reaction to Debo coming back to the Niners?
I mean, it felt warranted, right? Because with the injuries that were starting to pile up for the 49ers and their receiving group, especially the Ricky Pearsall one, seeing as how the suggestion was that he would be out all season again. This is before it was reported he would opt for the surgery route. I was already on board at that point with the Debo Samuel signing. Now, even more so, it feels like, well, they could definitely use him, right? I mean, you know, he could be dependable as long as he's in shape. You know, this is the time of the year where Debo is always in shape. Like the thing is, and he's always motivated. The thing is, can he keep that throughout the course of the season? That's to be seen, right? But you could do a lot worse, right? I think Debo Samuel coming back is a good thing for the 49ers. Definitely a better option and has better chemistry with Brock Purdy than some of the backup options that were available. So you think about Jordan Watkins, Jacob Cowing. At this point, I don't want to see those guys. Like, there's a reason that we haven't seen those guys, and I'd rather see Debo Samuel. I know he's old, but I still think he could contribute and give more than some of those guys that we haven't quite seen yet. That being said, you know, I still think Stribling is going to be ahead of him, and
he better be.
He better be, right? He's got to be, right?
He absolutely better be. If he's not, like, then I'm worried about Stribling. And for the record, everything that we've heard about him so far has been great, which is phenomenal. I should point out we got the breakdown of the Debo Samuel contract. It is a very good contract for the 49ers, which I knew it was going to be as soon as it was announced that it was a one-year deal for up to $7 million. Because when it's phrased like that, you know it's an incentive-laden thing. So it's a base salary, and this comes from Matt Maiocco, of $3.27 million. Gets a signing bonus just under $500,000, and he has a bunch of incentives, including a roster bonus for each game that he's active. He gets a $200,000 bonus if his combined rushing and receiving yards are between 600 and 802 on the season. And if he gets more than 802 scrimmage yards, he gets $450,000 as a bonus. And if the Niners make the playoffs and he gets those bonuses, they'll be double. So he's got some incentives. He also gets $200,000 if he scores 5 or 6 touchdowns in the regular season. If he scores 7 or more touchdowns, he gets $450,000. And again, if they make the playoffs, those are doubled. He also has a kick return incentive in there. He's got an incentive for playing 68% or more of the 49ers snaps. This is a heavy, heavy incentive-laden deal.
Yeah, and this is the type of deal that the 49ers like to make at this time of the year. I think it's a win-win for both sides. It's awesome. And I think also it's a vibe signing. Like, Debo Samuel brings a lot of vibes to this offense, to this group. You know, a lot of the vets are happy to have him back. So I think it'll be great. I have no issues with the signing.
Well, I want to talk to you about that because I agree. Like, when he was at his peak, him and Trent coming out with the boombox, we're going to dance all over you, smash you in the face, and it was awesome. Can he still bring that vibe and bring that attitude if he's not the same player physically?
He can. Now, whether that attitude carries the same weight as it did when he was that physically imposing player, that is to be seen. I think from the locker room standpoint, he's always going to be seen as that guy, right? And he's going to have guys' respect. So, yes, from that standpoint, I think it will do a lot to bring a lot of motivation into the locker room. But I don't know if it'll do the same for fans every time, if we see that there's that clear decline, right? And it's natural that there will be. I mean, he's just a little older now. I think also his role is going to be different. I don't think we could expect that he's going to be getting many carries in the backfield, although it sounds like in camp he's already had had some creative plays for him. But, you know, maybe that's just for fun. I don't know. But I think the 49ers should move off of that and just have him work as a receiver. It just became too predictable how they were going to use him. So use him in ways that he's still good at and that defenses could still respect.
You may not be old enough to remember this, Steph, but I was thinking about it last night, and Deebo Samuel is a lot like a George Foreman grill. I don't know if you ever had a George Foreman grill.
I did.
He's good at one thing, just like the Foreman grill. There's no on-off switch on the George Foreman grill. There's no temperature setting. You just plug it in, and it's 500 degrees, and that's all it does. You don't flip the food, nothing. That's Deebo Samuel. He's good at one thing. Throw him short passes over the middle and let him go to work with the ball in his hands. That's what he is at this point in his career.
And that's okay. There's a place for that in this offense this year, I think. And I'm okay with that. And certainly, Rob, he's getting paid as if he can only do one good thing, right? So
pretty much.
I think it's a fine deal for the 49ers. As far as Evans and Stribling, hopefully they could come back and, you know, play out this full season. And you're not having games where Deebo Samuel's your wide receiver one.
Yeah, no.
That's what you don't want.
That is not ideal for sure. I remember Jay saying this a couple of years ago, and it always stuck with me. He said that training camp is not about the report about a certain player on any one day. It's about what kind of journey do they take throughout camp? Do they have good reports all camp? Do they start out bad and get better? Where is the journey there from beginning to end? But I'm having a hard time not getting excited about Stribling and about Romello Height, who everything we keep hearing about these guys when they are out there is that it jumps out at people, that it pops off. Like, wow, look, okay, there's something there. That guy's got something. They have not had that from a draft pick, Steph, in years, really.
And those are the things that you want to hear about young players, right? What I think has the potential to stump that, as we've seen in the past, or injuries, right? And, you know, both of those players missing some time right now. Kalen Black is another one who is getting a lot of rave reviews, mm-hmm. dealing with an injury. So you really hate to see that, because especially for these young players, these training camp practices, everyone is huge to their development. I remember in Pearsall's rookie season, right? And him missing time, then how that impacted his growth as well. Like, everything counts. Every rep counts. Mm-hmm. And for those guys to miss even a couple practices could be huge to their development when you think about them being ready to contribute week one, right? That often is something that, you know, stumps their growth towards doing that. And I just hope that's not the case for those guys. I've been excited about them. So hopefully we get them back on the field soon and they can continue where they had left off.
I was the conductor of the Ricky Pearsall hype train. And now, of course, that train is stuck in the station. So I need another guy that I really want to root for. And kind of for the same reason why I like Pearsall, I am pulling so hard for Kalen Black this year, because that poor guy, when they drafted him, got just absolutely crushed, and it had nothing to do with his skill as a player. It was all because they had picked Trey Sermon, they had picked Ty Davis Price in the third round, and Joe Williams, and ha ha ha, 49ers picking a running back, they suck, he sucks, this is terrible, he wasn't invited to the combine. They got crushed for that pick, and I kept saying, like, tell me something about the player that you don't like. So I hope that he's as good as people say, and I hope he can get back out there soon, because that guy took a bunch of crap that I didn't feel like he deserved. So now I'm going to be the conductor of the Kalen Black hype train.
You know what, though, Rob? Like, 49ers, even the ones that complained about that pick, hope he's that good, too. Like, trust me, we all want the exception to this rule that the 49ers are just draft bus running backs mm-hmm. on day two of the draft, right? We want someone to change that perception for us. So hopefully Kalen Black is that, and we can trust their evaluation of running backs again, at least the ones that they use draft capital for. So yeah, I do have some faith in him, more so than I have in other guys that have come on in similar fashion.
Bo Adams says, Rob, we don't need you to pick favorites that keep getting hurt. So now it's my fault, Steph. It's my fault with the injury. That's what we're going with? It's me?
Because nobody knows. We're just trying to find someone to blame here.
Look, if I had that much power, the Niners would have at least one more Super Bowl, okay? Because I have been trying to manifest that for years. So if I had any kind of ability to make stuff happen, trust me, there would have been a couple Chiefs that were dropping dead in 2019 the way I was pulling the 49ers at the end of that Super Bowl.
Nobody cut that clip.
Philippe says, Rob, didn't you put your money on Ricky as Offensive Player of the Year on Prize Pick? No, I put $5 down on Stribling and $5 down on Romello Height to be offensive rookie and defensive rookie. I don't expect it, but you win like $300 if you get it. So I was like, why not? If Romello Height can come in, you're the constant, Bo Adams says, shut up, you jerk. If Romello Height can come in and get like 9 or 10 sacks, he's got a shot. Now, it depends obviously on what some of the other higher picked guys get, because if a first round pick does the exact same thing, the first round pick is going to win the award, because that's just the way it goes. But I mean, that's how Height's going to be used, right? He's going to play like 20 snaps a game. They'll all be on like third down or passing situations. And we'll see how many of those he can convert into pressures and sacks.
Well, what was it a few weeks ago, Rob, that me and Jay were picking our, I don't think it was like defensive player of the year for the 49ers, but I forget what we were choosing, but I specifically remember choosing Romello Height as like, it might have been the team leader in sacks that we were trying to predict.
Yep.
So, yeah, I went with Romello Height. I think it's in the realm of possibility given the role that he's going to have. He excels in that role and just the opportunity that's going to be there as far as, just some injuries or guys, Mykel Williams, Nick Bosa right now, not sure how they're going to look as the season goes on, right? So, yeah, I think Romello Height has a real opportunity. The question is this time that he's missing right now, how much is that going to impact him at the start of the season? Are we going to see a slow start? I don't know, but I do still think with some of the injuries, and you could say the same thing for Stribling, with mm-hmm. some of the injuries to the position groups that they're in, despite them dealing with injuries of their own right now, I still think they have big opportunities to make contributions in their rookie season. And based on everything that we've heard about them so far, it feels like they're the kind of players who could capitalize on those opportunities.
They are going to have huge opportunities, especially Stribling. Stribling is going to, they need him. Like, it's not even like, we think he's really good, so we're going to throw him the ball. It's like, no, we have to throw him the ball, because otherwise it's Evans and Debo and DeMarcus Robinson and Jacob Cowing and Jordan White. Like, they're going to have to put him in a big role, and hopefully he can come through and really contribute in a way that a lot of 49ers draft picks have not contributed, at least, or I should say, especially right out of the gate. And especially right out of the gate against the freaking Rams. I mean, God,
yeah,
couldn't have that Miami Dolphin game be in week one to just kind of ease us in. No? Okay. Thanks, NFL. All right. That's going to do it for this edition of the show. Thank you, everybody. Please like this video, subscribe to the channel. If this is your first time checking us out, we're live every single weekday. We greatly, greatly appreciate your support. Shout out to all our gold ticket members as well. There are so many of you, and I cannot believe that we have so many of you, but you allow us to do this, allow me specifically to do it. You can see you all. I've updated it now because we've had even more people join. So thank you so much. If we have to do two screens, we'll do two screens, damn it. But I promise you, I will never, ever, ever take that for granted. So thanks, everybody. We greatly appreciate it. Steph, I know you had to suffer through another show with me. Thanks for that.
I've become more mentally strong with all the spot duty that you've had lately. But I mean, I digress.
She figured out how to fight through it. Hopefully, Jay, his computer blew up, essentially. So that's why he's not on the show today. So hopefully we get that worked out for next week. But thanks, everybody. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday, and we'll talk tomorrow.
Peace.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's Keenan.
Able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really?